Repent, ye brood of vipers, for the time of God is coming. So begins one of the most famous sermons ever preached. Repent, ye brood of vipers. You would think this was the sort of sermon that might get a preacher in trouble. You would be right. It doesn't sound like it's going to be a very popular sermon. It certainly doesn't sound like the start of good news. So why is this story part of Advent? In the Advent season, there are several stories that are always told. The first is about Isaiah the prophet. 500 years before the birth of Christ, Isaiah spoke about a suffering servant come to take on the sins of the people. The second is how angels came to announce the birth to Mary and Joseph. Another is the story of Mary fleeing to Elizabeth, who was pregnant in her old age. And when Elizabeth saw Mary, the child in her womb leaped for joy. And Mary sings of how she is blessed and about a God who would bring justice and bring down the mighty. These are the stories of the prophecies of what is to come. And the next story flashes forward 30 years to find that Elizabeth's baby has all grown up. He's living in the desert. The baby, John, has become the preacher, that picture that you see of the man with long and tangled hair and long beard and wearing a camel hair tunic. He is the one we know as John the Baptizer. He preaches about the times to come, just as Isaiah had preached long before. The times are dark. The Romans have raised taxes. They have raided the temple treasury for public works. Nearby in the desert, there are other prophets preaching very different things. They preach violence and rebellion. Families are being torn apart. On the one hand, the Romans arrest any they suspect of sedition. They conscript young men into the army. Children are taken from parents and sold into slavery for debt. On the other side, the temple demands rigid adherence to purity laws that force women from their families. And the temple has its own soldiers. Families and communities are divided on their interpretation of the laws. Temple soldiers bully their way through the streets, and Roman soldiers demand favors. Jews from Samaria and Jews from Judea insult each other and pick fights in the streets. Things are reaching a boiling point, and violence, prejudice, and all kinds of unethical behaviors are being justified by nationalism and the drive for religious purity. And into this, a group of people gather to hear John, the fiery prophet from the desert. Remember this, they have gone to him. And this is who comes, the people who seek something different, and the tax collectors. Jews who work for the Romans, divided from communities seen as traitors, collaborators, and thieves, and soldiers wishing for a life of meaning and hope. These are not just the poor and disenfranchised. These are also the bullies, the ones with the opportunity for graft and riches, and yet they have lost community. And they have come looking for something else. Here we are in relative comfort of our church. The world of the 21st century is vastly different. We don't have to go to the desert to hear a prophet. We could turn on the TV, check the internet. I understand Reddit is good. instant communications in a society where we, strangely, are really bad at communicating. They say the more things change, the more they stay the same. The world is dark. Nationalism and prejudice justify violence, graft, and corruption. Ideas of religious purity are fostering wars, dividing communities and families. The whole concept of truth is under threat, and honesty as a virtue can seem antiquated. And we fear we are coming to a boiling point. And yet, there are so many people seeking something else, looking desperately for something to give life a depth of meaning that is grounded and grounding, something to give your life to. There are children marching in the streets against violence and teenagers leading the charge for education, not just for themselves, but others. "Repent, ye brood of vipers," says John. And instead of turning away or stoning him to death, they say, "What can we do?" He gave them very simple instructions. Be honest. Do not steal from people. Do not use your power for your own gain. Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. They're not difficult theological instructions. You don't need to parse the meaning here. He's not spending time on purity laws, deciding who is worthy of a place in the community, because clearly these people already don't think that they are. Just be honest in your dealings with one another and share what you have. The people were filled with expectation, the gospel says, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John whether he might be the Messiah. Imagine being thought to be the Messiah because you set an example of honesty and asked people to stop abusing one another. John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not unworthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor, to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. The brood of vipers has been offered good news. There is hope for reconciliation. There is hope for a time to come. Baptism becomes not just a confession, but a response to a promise of life. All that is good about you is gathered like wheat into a granary. All that is unnecessary about you, the chaff that does not feed you or others, will be burned away. Simple words, simple instructions, not easy ones. It's hard to resist the culture that makes sharing a sign of weakness or that reinforces fear. It's hard to resist the pressure of family and friends. The draw to nationalism is strong. The desire to be seen as strong can hide from us where true strength lies, or suck us into the more toxic forms of power. The instructions are simple. They're not easy. The good news, though, is that meaning is also found in the simplest of these things, in relationships found or rekindled, in work that makes even small changes in community. That's why this season has sometimes idealized images of family gatherings. It may be unrealistic, but it's an expression of our underlying knowledge that meaning is to be found in relationships, not things, nor money, patriotism. So even when the relationships aren't easy, we spend time on them because we recognize that there is something that is vitally important there. Not just to ourselves as individuals, but to the fabric of human life and being of which we are a part, whether it's the families that made us or the families we make. John spoke to people who had lost those relationships and offered a way to make new ones. Those who have two coats give to one who has none. Those who have food share with those who have none. Be honest. The good news for people who have lost relationships in favor of corruption, that relationships may be possible again. The good news for a society where we have given up relationship in favor of privilege, that relationships are possible across those boundaries. We don't like to speak about sin, but in this teaching we also learn that repentance is about change. The good news does not come without a call to the new, to set aside the things that keep us from truth and embrace what is good and true and honest, and prepare for the Messiah to come. John went into all the region around the Jordan, the Gospel says, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked shall be made straight, the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God."